Guys, so I am back again. Yay! Welcome to Witches DNA 101, and I want to thank you all for tuning in and listening to me. Anyone who has subscribed, thank you so much. And to all my new listeners, welcome. I hope you enjoy. Hope you find something that tickles your fancy, makes you laugh, you find informative, teaches you something. I hope there's something great you can get out of this. Okay, so I'm going to start. I was trying to decide how I wanted to start this episode. So do I want to start in explaining how witches have a heritage or have a DNA, or do I want to jump right into the meat of the podcast and start talking about our celebration that we have coming up? So I decided to start with the heritage, since that's a little quicker, and then I can really get into the celebration coming up. Okay, so yes, witches can have a DNA. I'm sorry for, and this is a sticky subject, but I am sorry for anybody who feels otherwise, for anybody who feels that all witches matter, because all witches do matter. It's just that there are some who have a heritage that's going down their family tree. They're way back when. It's been, and it's not just a long lost relative, or it could be for some, but for others, it's been passed down and their ancestors learned from the one ancestors before them. So on and so forth, and then it trickled on down to you if you're a hereditary witch, or as it trickled on down to me. And and so that is how that goes. And it's a DNA because it's something that is ingrained in you. Let me explain to you this way. It's a common thing that is shared intrinsically when you have a heritage that is deeply rooted, so deeply rooted that it's in your blood. You don't know where your heritage ends and your blood begins, because they're both intertwined so tightly, they're the same. So that's basically it in a nutshell. Witches who have a hereditary or DNA, as I just explained, do not take away from witches who don't. Okay, so witches who don't should have a security within themselves to know that just because a witch is a hereditary witch, that doesn't demean her or him. Okay, because there's this talk about hereditary witches that say it's in their DNA, that feel that they are above other witches, and that is not the case. That is not true. Nobody is saying that. A witch that is not hereditary might feel that way because it's a pride that we have in our ancestry, in our ancestral line, that this is there. And it's something that's unique, something that separates us from the mainstream witches, which is in the mainstream, it kind of picks us up and separates us from that, makes us unique. It is a little isolating, and witches who don't have the hereditary DNA feel that they have that there's some type of isolation going on there too. So it's on both sides. So one isn't saying anything about the other. Okay, everybody stands in their own truth. One person's truth doesn't take away from the other. Okay, so I got that out. Now let's talk about a celebrations that we got coming up. There is two, and there's some months there's two, and some months there's only one. And these celebrations I am talking about are Sabbats and Esbats, or Esbats, however you want to pronounce it, it's up to you. So for September, we've already gotten over August. So for September, we have the Sabbat. Sabbats are like witches' holidays. So, the Sabbath for September is Mabon, or Mabon, or Mabon, however you want to pronounce it, M-A-B-O-N, however you want to pronounce it. And last podcast, I did a little informative thing about, Druidry or Druidism, as some people pronounce, some people say it, and the history behind it, and then the history behind that led into Wicca, there were members of, there were Druids, Druid members, members of the Druid Order or something like that, that were, what is his name? I can't think of his name. Gardner was one of the, was, well, he created Wicca in 1950, okay? So we're not talking about Wicca as being an old religion. It's very new. If you can say it's brand new, okay? So it's Wicca hasn't earned its stripes yet. Or however you say that, it hasn't earned its strikes yet, or whatever, however you say that, because it's so new. And what Wicca is to me is that Gardner actually, what he did was he just gave a shell, or an enclosure, or a definition of what was already present. The witchcraft that was already present. You can say that form of paganism that was already present. He gave it a structure, and the structure he named Wicca, but the paganism that he built the structure around, he gave it a name. Now, which is called witchcraft. Witchcraft is not brand new. Okay, and I explained this in the last podcast that what I say, witchcraft is not Wiccan at all, because witchcraft existed millennial. You know, like for millennia. But Wicca is a form of witchcraft. Okay, so the Sabbat is a celebration, and we have celebrations for several reasons. The Sabbats, the are named like Lammas and Mabon and Samhain and Beltane and there's a lot of others. Their names are derived from the Wiccan path, I guess you could say. But there have been celebrations like that that have already been going on for millennia. You guys see the structure that's going on now. Okay? So, before, in millennia, before the celebrations weren't, they were just, you know, how things were done back then. A lot of things, like the Druids, everything was word of mouth. Everything was spoken. There was nothing written. Everything was passed down, you know, from one generation to the next. And so there was structure, but there wasn't anything in writing, like something that somebody could see, somebody could have this organizational structure that was tangible, that was sustainable. And it, well, not sustainable, because it was sustainable. It sustained for millennia before 1950. But he really gave it face. He gave it a something that it didn't have before. How about that? He gave it something that he did that it didn't have before. And and it's kind of cool. It's really cool, because out of that structure came many other ways of expressing, of individual expression of that structure. And many people were able to find themselves in one of the many, like, there's more than 32 structures, individual expressions in this structure. Like, you've got from inside a Wicca itself, there you can have a hearth witch, you can have a green witch, you can have a hedge witch, you can have a sea witch, you can have a oh my god, there is just so many, there's so many different types of witchcraft out there. And not traditions, just types. Because traditions to me would be like Druid, or it would be some other Celtic, or it would be some other really, 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 really old tradition. Gardner also created the Gardnerian path of witchcraft, and that one is the highly secretive one, which is a lot like the Druids. So that's interesting. With everybody finding themselves somewhere in these expressions of Wicca, everybody thinks that, well, not everybody, let me back that up. A lot of people associate, they put Wicca and witchcraft together as one thing. Wicca is witchcraft. But that's not true. I just explained that to you guys. But I think it's just this universal acceptance that people are finding themselves or finding who they are inside in these different expressions, and people who are wanting to identify with something are finding themselves there, and that's a great, wonderful thing. And people who are looking for a spiritual path but were not happy with what they had before, finding themselves somewhere. And the eclectic path is there, and you can just hodgepodge anything together that you want, and you've got it. And there's nothing wrong. Nobody can say there's something wrong about what you're doing, because it's a highly individual thing. There's so many different expressions out there, and that's wonderful. And the older traditions, the ones that have been out there for millennia, are more exclusive. So that is a benefit that Wicca is offering to a large society of people who are coming to the craft, is that it's not exclusive, and you can even find yourself, the Christian witches, you can even find yourself in there somewhere. So with this holiday coming up in September, on September 21st, it lasts through September 29th. It's called Mabon. That's how I pronounce it. And it is the second of the three harvest festivals that we have. The first, you guys might remember me talking to you guys about llamas. That was this month on the 1st. It occurs every year in the Northern Hemisphere, August 1st. And then, let me see, when does it, I don't remember when it occurs on the Southern Hemisphere, but llamas in the Northern Hemisphere is every year on August 1st. What after that? I didn't write it down. Okay, so what we have coming up is Mabon. And Mabon is the second harvest festival, and it's also called the Witch's Thanksgiving. How about that? The Witch's Thanksgiving. It marks the autumn equinox, when the night and days, the length of the days, the lengths of the days and nights are equal. And so we show our gratitude. We show our gratitude, and it's also a balance. We show there's a balance between light and dark. So there's a balance between how what we honor. Like, some people might work on their shadow work, you know, try to work on their inner selves and actually celebrating or honoring or showing gratitude for what their dark side, the shadow side of their personality, of their psyche, has taught them, as well as what the light side has taught them, or the, you know, it's a balance, achieving that balance. And it is about starting new things also. The autumn equinox is a great time to start something new, like the spring equinox. But the autumn equinox, each equinox actually, in my opinion, is a great time to start something new. For Mabon, being the Witch's Thanksgiving, what a lot of people do is that they actually celebrate it as Thanksgiving. And the reason as to why, and I will tell you, is because back in older societies, like way back when, even for millennial, societies really did have to depend upon each other to be sustainable in order to make it through the cold and the harsh winters. And because they depended on each other to make it through, they celebrate, they have a feast together to show gratitude to each other. And this is, they're thankful for the gifts that each one has brought to the society to help make it through the winters. Because without that, they couldn't, without each other, without the societies coming together, they wouldn't survive. So they show their gratitude to each other. They show their thankfulness to each other. And this is because this is before autumn hits, because they're preparing for autumn, for the winter. And so they get their feast together, and well, this is at the beginning of autumn. And so they get their feast together and they sit down and break bread together. And so having a harvest meal, having a Thanksgiving meal during Mabon is very traditional. Also a great way to celebrate balance, because remember I said it's that time when the night and day, the duration of it is equal, is to do things that balance, like meditate or do things that show balance in your life, that bring you balance. For some, it's sleep. For some, it could be something slow that slows you down and makes you become aware of the world around you. For some, it could be yoga. For some, it could even be Pilates. It could be something that brings you that balance. For Christian witches, it could be going to church. Whatever it is that brings you that balance. In solitary witches, they can celebrate this any way they want. Witches in a coven, I mean, you come up with your way to celebrate, but the traditional way is to have a feast together. And this feast can be around a bonfire, what's that called when you, there is an actual particular name for it, but playing drums, adding music and merriment to the celebration, because it's a happy time, because you know, because you have come together, that you're going to make it through the winter. The Druids actually call this Mian, and I'm going to really tear this up, Mian Foam Hair. So, I'm not going to try it again. Okay. So, and they give libations to trees in honor of the Green Man. And, that is interesting. I know that witches, that trees have souls. But for me, in myself and I, I'm not going to honor a God in a tree, because to me, Father Sky, Mother Earth is my God. All right, so express gratitude through actions is something that popped out at me a few days ago, and I wrote it down in my notes on my iPhone and in all caps, and it just something so very powerful to me. And then I was like, oh, that's so perfect for Marble. Express gratitude through actions. And this is a time when we can we just can give to local food banks, or even go and patronize farmers markets, buy food from local sellers and stuff like that. Support your community. Buy stuff from local sellers. Doesn't have to be food. Buy, support your local community. And for and like the other celebration we have coming up, and that's on this year, is on September 14th. It's a full moon celebration. You guys remember what those are called? S-spots. Now, some covens celebrate both full moon and new moon celebrations, but for full moon celebrations, it's S-spots, and this one is the harvest moon. And it's the same. And some great ideas that I wanted to bring you, to you guys as ways to make your circle, construct your circle. If you're in a coven, or if you're solitary and you create a circle and you do a circle ritual for your S-spots. And S-spots is also a great time to honor your ancestors. So things that you can use for your circle, especially around this time, is leaves, nice autumn leaves, or any other kind of leaves, ivy or branches or twigs or, nuts and berries, and, you can use seashells, especially for sea witches or sea covens. You can use seashells, you can use flowers. It doesn't have to be candles. You can use crystals, a series of smaller stones or bigger stones set at the four corners. Let me see, what else could you guys use? There's so many things that can be used. If you use fresh flowers, you can save them and dry them and make a potpourri, especially for solitary witches. You can bring a basket of food, of critter-friendly food, that you leave there. You take out the basket and you leave there for the critters that are native there, and as a thank you for sharing their space with you or with your coven. And follow your city state laws on leaving food in outdoor areas like that if you're not in a private area. Let's see, what else could you guys, there's all, I mean, the sky is literally the limit. You can use nuts, I think I said nuts already. You can use, bells, you can use all kinds of off. The more natural, the better, though. And you don't like, if you're new to creating a, to doing a circle, creating a circle for a ritual, I mean, your rituals don't have to be Esbats or Sabbats. They can be celebrating anything, a birth, an anniversary, a birthday, a going home, like if somebody died, going home for them. A secular holiday. You can, Christian witches can do Easter or you know, Christmas. Anything that is, you know, celebratory or not even celebratory. It doesn't even have to be celebratory. You can do this, like if you're in a coven or you're half like someone who's going to join your circle with you, you can do it as a teaching moment where you're teaching a lesson in a circle. You can use the circle where you're teaching a lesson about any number of topics. Or just be a la carte, whatever. Create your circle, and then whatever comes to you is what your circle is about. And during the Esbats, a lot of some covens draw down the moon. And I explained that it was in the episode prior to this, or the one prior to the one prior to this, and that whole process of drawing down the moon, how you do it, and how you know when it's completed, how you reverse it or close it out, and how you can detect if somebody's full of shit. Circles can also be for initiations. Once you dismiss the circle, you guys know that when you close the circle, that's at the beginning, you work docile or clockwise, and when you're done or release the circle, you work widdershins or counterclockwise. And so once you dismiss the circle, you can even have a party, you can have a potluck, you can literally have a full-on party with a DJ, and or meet at a club or a restaurant. Make it a big, huge deal, because it is. Okay? So, that is the Esbat. The Esbat, the harvest moon, is the second, Mabon is the second harvest festival, and the pre-harvest moon was in August, and Lammas is the first harvest festival. Then comes Mabon, and then my next podcast, I'll tell you guys about the third one. Okay, so, and if you hear of people in a coven or solitary that celebrate these Esbats or Sabbats nude, that's just fine, because a nude body is a natural form of existence. We were born without clothes on. It's just natural. I mean, if the universe thought that our nude bodies were natural, we'd be born with clothes on, fully clad, with underwear, t-shirts, tennis shoes, socks, jeans, and t-shirts. But we were born in our birthday suits, absolutely nude. So there's nothing wrong with And because somebody does a ritual in the new doesn't mean that they're sacrificing people or having orgies. That's just crazy. That's crazy. Because people, births are celebrated all the time. When a baby is born nude, and that's a time of celebration. So you wouldn't equate sacrifices, like human sacrifices, and orgies, mass orgies, with the birth of a baby. So I mean, it's no different. Nudity does not mean that you do massive sex orgies, even though there's nothing wrong with that at all. So I don't even know why that's even seen as derogatory. And it doesn't mean that you sacrifice either. That's pretty much coming from skeptics. And I'm not trying to, I hope I don't offend any Christian witches out there. But a lot of that is came from the negative judgment from the churches. So, inaccurate judgment from the churches, I should say. It's perfectly fine. And I believe some coven, and you guys know I'm in the process of creating my own coven. This being one, the precursor to it, just my podcast version of a coven. And some leave the nudity or clothes issue as optional. Such as clothing optional. So that some people who are more modest don't feel pressured. And that's the right thing to do, in my opinion. Some might even take a poll to see if how many members want to be clothed, how many members feel confident in being unclothed, and just if more say clothed, then they do it clothed, or they might alternate if people handle it differently. Okay, now on to my next topic. Everybody knows, I said this in my first podcast and another one, I can't remember which one, but yes, I am a member of the LGBT community. I am lesbian. And I am also black. And as you guys know, I am also a witch. And I did a podcast, a segment in a podcast, one of my podcasts, about being the stigma of being a black witch. Not being a dark witch, like as in negative, but as in being a black person and a witch. People put a black person and a witch together, and all of a sudden they think a voodoo priestess or hoodoo or some other mess. I don't really think of it that way, but or something, because people, when they put a black woman and witch together and they say voodoo or hoodoo, they mean the negative stereotypes that are a part of those religions. And that's just not true. That's not true at all. There are many, many white witches who are black women. And then you add on to that lesbian. That's another marginalized community. It's the gay community is very marginalized. the black community is marginalized, and the witch community is marginalized. So there's a lot going on there. There's a lot of pressure there. And even inside the community, there's a lot of pressure. Because pride is there. We have pride, parades and celebrations and stuff, because we needed to, because of the hate, the being ostracized by the mainstream communities, being killed by the mainstream communities, being segregated, being discriminated, being stomped on, stepped on, pushed into a corner, shoved into closets, and being told to stay there, being put in a timeout and with some crayons and saying, you know, being told to shut up and color. You know, it's just, we needed that. The ones doing that to us didn't need it, because they were the power community. They were the ones who were wielding the power and were negatively judging us. Not that they actually had power, but they were using their influence, their power, to act in that way as if they had power over us. And so we needed a pride. We needed something. A bright frickin' rainbow. Because we needed to be seen. Because the power community did not want us to be seen. They wanted us to go away. And we can't go, we can't go away, we can't go away. We can't go away from who we are no more than they can go away from who they are. So being gay should never, in my opinion, become so mainstream that it disappears. And we're not seen. Because then our identity becomes invisible again to those outside of our struggle. I'm just going to say unity in both straight and gay communities is needed. Our pride is not an affront, not an affront to anyone else, to any other community. So the fact that we have pride doesn't take away from the straight community. It's not that type of thing. It doesn't take away from anybody. The straight community can be the straight community without feeling that our pride is making them vulnerable about anything. And so, respect, having respect for what each one brings. The straight community having respect for the gay community for what they bring. The gay community having respect for the straight community for what they bring. Unity. Balance. And that could be something that, you know, can be a focus for somebody, for a mama. Balance, achieving balance. Pride is not a religion, even though, yes, we can act like it is. To me, it's not, it's totally not a religion, but it's so personal to me that it touches me like it's a religion. Being lesbian and being black are identities. And these identities are attached to pride. And so when pride is attacked, I feel that my lesbian identity is being attacked. When people turn their nose up because I'm black and a witch and they think that I'm into something negative, my pride is attacked. My pride is attacked by that. I feel that. So my pride is not just in being gay. My pride is in who I am. It's everything. It encompasses everything. Being a witch, being black, and being lesbian. So sensitivity to each other is one of those things that we are working on, and we've been really working on it. We've been making strides, amazing strides, and pulling together that sustainability, that sustainment of how we came together, how we keep coming together, how President Obama helped us become a tighter knit community. How we help though our gay brothers and sisters in the military, gay marriages, the don't act, don't ask, don't tell repeal for the military, allowing gays to openly serve. How we came together when President Trump was elected. And all this mess started going on. We pulled together as a community, sustained, and we're making it through the winter together. That's something that can be celebrated for my mom. And you don't have to be gay to celebrate that. You could be straight. You could be in between or wherever, however you identify. That's a balance that we've all achieved in this fight. And those who are growing to accept that our gay brothers and sisters, whether you're straight or whatever, are a part of our existence too, then celebrate that. Celebrate whatever it is that you have been working on, or are starting to work on, or making a plan to work on, and celebrate that for my mom. All kinds of wonderful things to do, ways to bring in this autumn season, jack-o'-lanterns. Decorating with crafts, making jack-o'-lanterns and filling them with flowers or candles or painting them, all kinds of things. Dressing your table with and outfitting it and harvesting things, your patio with straw, maybe a scarecrow or something interesting, apples or something really interesting. Plant seeds for like hardy vegetables that will grow through the winter. Reap. This is time where you reap what you've sown. Gather your vegetables that have grown and create a harvest out of that, create a feast out of that, or give to someone, give to your neighbor or to someone who needs it, the homeless people or the shelters, or donate. Then just show gratitude for the seeds that brought forth that harvest for you. The rain and the sun and all that worked together. And thank the spirits that you recognize for loving you and protecting you and bringing about that harvest. Saying thank you. And during the S-Pots, it's a wonderful time, harvest time, to even have a feast then and leave some of the feast there for your ancestors, or do it on Maba. Honor your ancestors on the harvest moon, September 14th, and on September 21st, going through September 29th. Share some of that harvest with them, if you know, freeze it and then take some out and share some of that harvest with them as an offering. Pour, give libation, cider, wine, rum or something to a tree. Pour it out to a tree and say something in thanks to the spirit of that tree. All kinds of ways you can do this. But or if you want to do it, drew away the green man, it's up to you. Or the god of the trees, if you want to say it that way. But yeah, so this is really, I love doing these podcasts because they're so much fun and I get so much information out, because I hold so much information in all these years, and people often consult me for ideas and advice and what I know, because I learned so much from my family. And so to be able to get that out and talk about it is a blessing. And so that's something that I can really honor during Mabo, is that ability, the platform that I've been blessed with to bless others. And that is reaping a harvest, because it's a harvest of gratitude. I have a lot of gratitude for my listeners. And I hope that my listeners are getting something from my podcast. And that's gratitude right there. Yet you guys can tell I'm getting a little emotional about this, because it's just so deeply meaningful. I love it. I love these Sabbaths. I love these S-Pots, and when I branched out on my own path many years ago, you guys know the story, if you heard my beginning podcast, I branched out into the fairy tradition, and that's a expression of Wicca. So yet I have been Wiccan before, for anybody who was wondering. But I reference, I love, and I identify my path with Father Sky, Mother Earth being one God. Okay, so instead of the many in Wicca, I have one. It's like Christian, because I have a Christian influence as well. So I have high respect for that also. But Christ is more like my brother. But it at a very divine level is how I see it. And that goes into a whole nother podcast, because I've had some interesting discussions about that too. So that will be for another podcast. And until then, thank you all again for tuning in. And I will be speaking to you guys soon. Oh, my website is 70lavender, 70 LAV as in Victor, ENDER.org. And I'm on Facebook, Mystical Flow, and on Instagram, Mystical Flow 2. And on, I have a little YouTube thing I've been trying to keep up with, but I haven't been doing a very good job. Mystical Flow on YouTube. So, thank you guys, and thank you guys for tuning in. Bye.